I thank you so much for spending the time with us. Okay, tell us about the convention. Let's say Trump comes in with the most primary votes. Does that still mean he's going to take the convention?
You know, the Republicans could still tweak their rules between now and the convention. I mean, in theory, if he has the most number of pledged delegates, if he has a majority of the pledged delegates, they are, as I understand the rules as they're written right now, they are committed to voting for him on the first ballot. And, you know, I don't exactly know what the penalty is for breaking with those with that commitment. But in theory, they're supposed to, if he has the most votes in the primaries and the caucuses, that should translate to the most number of pledged delegates and maybe even a majority, and then he should be the convention winner. I think if it gets, I mean, another thing to remember is some are saying about Trump, well, when is the Republican establishment? When is are the Republican poobahs, the power players, going to all get together and do something to stop the guy? I'm not sure that the modern Republican Party has that kind of strength. And certainly the Republican, what Republican organization there is in Washington, you know, with a national chairman, Rance Priebus, who is, you know, he's a smart guy, but he's not some big former elected official. He's really a party functionary who runs the party. I think he is very cautious about trying to attack a guy who seems to be speaking to the base of the party, which is this sort of Tea Party angry guy wing of the party, for fear that that would backfire and have those people spurn whoever the nominee is. And then I'm also think it's an open question whether he has the kind of muscle that's necessary to get all the Republican regular power players in a room and say, we're going to stop this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's possible at the moment.
I want to switch horses here, or trails, and ask you about one of our own up here, a man I have great respect for, a Republican, Chris Gibson, who has invoked term limits on himself. And,
right.
And very rare that somebody would do that in Congress. And now is clearly looking at a gubernatorial run against, I think, the party favorite, who is Rob Astorino, who is the present county exec in Westchester County. Are you guys watching this race at all?
We are. It is obviously, you know, in its early stages, and the way we're watching it, I think, is, I mean, obviously, when we cover Congress, when a guy decides to give up his congressional seat to run for governor, we lose a little bit of interest in him because we're so focused on Congress. But I think what we are interested in is whether he can reignite the Northeast centrist Republican strain that was such a strong strain in American politics for so long. I looked right before you and I got on the phone. I was looking at our CQ does constantly updating our vote study. We're constantly updating in our computers how often each member of Congress votes with or against the president's position. And so far this year, Chris Gibson is number one in terms of Republicans siding with Obama. He went on votes that Obama has taken a clearly understood position. So far this year, Chris Gibson's been with him one third of the time. And that is way ahead of the pack. The typical House Republican has backed Obama's wishes something like 10% of the time. So obviously Chris Gibson would be running as a different kind of Republican than we've seen in New York since since the days before Pataki.
Right, who is also doing very well up there in the New Hampshire primary. Right. My tongue is in my cheek.
Yes, I hear you. I hear that.
And I saw his mentor, Al D'Amato, endorsing somebody else. So talk about the kiss of death. Let me talk to you about your excellent column, and you've been writing about congressional Republicans. And they may have a plan to break the gridlock this fall because they know they're susceptible on that one.
That's right. And their plan to break the gridlock, which I think you're referring to, is a piece that I wrote a couple of weeks ago.
Indeed, an excellent piece.
Thank you. Which is that they would take essentially all their troubles and hope that the sum would be much more palatable than the parts. Jumble it all into one giant bit of legislation that that the Congress would be loath to vote against because it would have something in it for everybody and it would solve all their problems at once and probably wait for close to Christmas to get it all done.
And do they call that the big ugly or something like that? They come up with
that's not. I haven't. That's a. We're always looking for good nicknames. The one that we called it a couple of years ago was the Cromnibus.
Oh, the Cromnibus, yes.
There was the Cromnibus. There's the Omnibus. We go by all kinds of acronyms. I actually cooked up some sort of goofy acronym for this thing because it would involve not only all the spending decisions, but some tax decisions, keeping the highway money flowing, which requires separate legislation, reopening the Export-Import Bank, passing the annual defense bill, which is bollocksed up because of money disputes. Probably, one way they could solve this is by passing a stopgap bill at the end of September to keep the government going until December, and then waiting until, the very last few days before the Christmas shopping season ends and saying to members, you got to just swallow this giant bolus of stuff in order to go home, and then they do it. Well, but in the meantime, I think no government shutdown. I've sort of changed my mind about that in the last couple of days. It does sound like in the waning days of the summer, most members are realizing that are getting some sense in their heads, having been home talking to their constituents, and even some of the most confrontational Republicans are concluding they don't want to shut down the government.
Well, Congress, when people are polled, it's lower than a hound's belly, obviously. So
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. and therefore, the idea that they have to do something to improve their image in people's minds, because otherwise, people are going to just hate them more and more.
That's right. I mean, it is. I think it's been in the low teens, the congressional approval rating now for a couple of years. It's statistically not a couple of blips in the fever line of congressional approval have gone a bit lower, but so the sustained low point is now there, and that yes, they need to do something. They want to do something. They've said all year they were going to do something, right? I mean, the Republicans campaigned to win control of the Senate as well as the House a year ago on the promise that unified government would restore some functionality to the place and that they'd get something done. So they are real eager to prove that they can get something done.
David Hawkins, we are always grateful to you. I know how busy you are. Editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, generally regarded as the expert on the United States Congress, and you've covered it since 1995. And why you take the time to talk to us, I don't know. But we are always very, very grateful.
Thank you, Mr. Chartok. It's because I have friends who listen.